the Lord. Well, it's good to have Will back. I was texting with him and saying how long it's been since we've seen him and how much we miss him. Thinking about, he said, told me that he was going to be coming back today, and so I was just thinking about him today. I figured while he was traveling and that, so amen. Just amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer now. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we're thankful, dear God, to be here, Lord. And we ask now, God, that you'll come and anoint us, Father, with your Spirit to speak your word, Father, and bring this thought and a little teaching from here in 2 Corinthians, Lord. And we ask, God, your blessings on the people in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 11 tonight. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I do, that I might cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For if ye suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In the labor more abundant, in stripes more measure, in prisons more frequent, in debts often. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold, in nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artius the king kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, and desires to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Amen. You may be seated. Now, several verses that are in this chapter is actually Paul confirming who he is. It's Paul showing that God has confirmed who he is. He's pointing at his the fruits. He's pointing at his life and actions in that as confirmation, so that he can speak the things and warnings to the church that they would take them from him. And you realize Paul was saying these things as the messenger to the age. When he was saying that I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband that I might present you a chaste virgin to Christ. And these warnings he's given about, being corrupted from the simplicity of the gospel, and those coming in to preach another Jesus. And what would Paul mean about preaching another Jesus? It's that they would actually be representing Jesus to be something other than what he really was. We have that in our day. And not only do we have that out in the church world, but there has been times that we have had it right amongst the message ranks, where there's been those who have actually, through their preaching, have represented Jesus to be something other than what he is. Anytime they misrepresent the word, they are misrepresenting Jesus. They are preaching another Jesus. They are preaching another gospel, as Paul said. And those were the things that Paul was warning the church of. And, he says in verse 12 that his reason for these things was that he may cut off occasion from those who are trying to take occasion, meaning to actually cut off the occasion of those that are trying to come in amongst the church, the believers, and to preach another gospel, to present something other than the truth that had been delivered. And, you realize, as he points out how the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, what he tried to point out to Eve, he tried to give to her that what the word was, it didn't really mean what she thought it meant. And that's, what there has been men that have raised up around this message that have tried to present things that, you know, that Brother Branham has said to mean something other than what he said. And you watch to do that, they have to cling on to just certain things that Brother Branham said, you know, and at the same time, they ignore other things that he said. They only want to present to the people the things that will show forth what they're trying to say. You know, I'll tell you this: is in the years that I have been preaching and the years that I've been a pastor here, you know, I don't try to just bring you quotes to try to get across to you what what I'm trying to say. Well, I use all of them. I'll use the quotes they use to try to say different than what the message is really saying. If you bring it all together, then you can actually get the whole picture. You know, it's, Brother Branham, you know, he gave an example of this. He said, you could say, well, Judas hung himself. You go do the same. You're taking things out of context. Yeah. Taking this scripture and that scripture, putting them together, and they don't even go together. But you got to see it flow all the way through. The one of the things you'll realize that the false ones that have come into that have been in the midst of the message that have actually stood up over the recent past years to actually stand against the message, you know. It's not really so much the word that was preached that they're actually presenting. Many of them, what they want to present is from accounts that Brother Branham gave, stories that Brother Branham told, events that they say don't match up and line up. And they want to bring reasoning. This is different than, I'm going to tell you something, friends. I can remember back when I was just real young in the early 70s, and that, when many of, during my time that I can remember, these different false doctrines that raised up and around the message, and there would be preachers that were going around and they were preaching these false doctrines and pastors and so forth doing this and that. That's different than this. You know, those men were the ones that we were warned of by Paul, even, that would rise up from out of our own midst to draw people after themselves. And, you know, Brother Branham said, watch, they'll be saying, you know, you need to come with us, you need to believe this if you're going to make it. But that, you know, that was one tactic that Satan was using, you know, and we still have some of that. You know, there are some doctrines, like I said, that have ran their course and actually have died off. Their camps just dried up. For instance, like, I don't know how familiar you are with it, but I was very familiar with, you know, the Seven Thunder camp, you know. And that thing's dried up. There's still some of them here, there, scattered, but it's not strong like it used to be. But Return Ministry is still there. Believing Brother Branham's got to come back to, you know, to open that seventh seal or to have that tent meeting, you know, with the little room and so forth. That's still there in places. It might not have a big, strong, large groups, but it's scattered. But it's there. You know, every time I think of that, I always think of Brother David Morris told me, he said, you know, people that don't believe the seven seals open, but they don't believe in the return ministry, he said, they're kind of stuck. He said, they're really stuck, he said, you know. And I guess he's had, when the area where he was, he's had to deal with both, you know. And, and then, you know, what seems to be so strong is this disclaiming the fivefold ministry. Of course, you know, they kind of have walked their way around that one a little bit. Because now they claim to be part of it. But, friends, there are people, they don't want you having service like we have here, where a preacher actually gets up and preaches to you. They want you to play a tape. Now, I got nothing against playing a tape here. I've done it when I felt led, not often, but I know at least one time I did it years ago, not long after I was here. And that I was real sick physically where I couldn't preach. And Brother Phil wasn't preaching back then. And so we didn't have anybody. And so I played a tape that service. And so I got nothing against that. I remember when my dad was first starting the church up there in Lorain, there was a time that on our Thursday night service, we played a tape, and we were going through a series of 1962, and then, you know, but it was because of how my dad was feeling led of God to study and bring in teachings, and it was all coming from these messages that Brother Branham had preached during that time there, like I said, I've got nothing against playing it. However, I still believe we need to preach it. And, you know, that Paul, as the messenger to the age, he was instructing them and warning the Corinthian church. There's so many places, you know, you realize how long we've been on Corinthians. We covered last year 1 Corinthians, and then I think one of the last Thursdays that we had actually spoke in December is when we actually started on 2 Corinthians, and then that's what we've been on this year. But if you look how many times in the book of Corinthians that Paul was constantly warning the church against these deceitful people that would come in amongst them to try to lead them astray, and warning about them. And Paul actually telling the people, don't fellowship with them. Well, that's it. Sometimes a hard thing for some message people to swallow that, you know, because they look at other things that Brother Branham said, like, you know, if you draw a circle and draw me out, I'll just draw a bigger circle and draw you back in. But like I said here recently, you know, the same prophet said, you know, I told Brother Neville the other day, we keep dragging people into church and God keeps kicking them out. You know, and there's many other things that Brother Branham said in that. And so, and you know, Brother Branham is a messenger to our age. One of the things that he said, I'll read one to you here aside of questions and answers. In 64, he says, I'm here to try to help you because I love you. You're my children that I've begotten you to Christ. I claim every one of you. I claim you tonight. I claim you all the time. I always claim you as my brother and sister. You're my children. I'm your father in the gospel, not a father that as it would be a priest. I'm your father in the gospel, as Paul said there. I've begotten you to Christ. And now I espouse you to Christ. That's engage you to Christ as a chaste virgin. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. He says it twice. You stay a chaste virgin. How will I do it, Brother Branham? Stay right with the word. Live clean and pure and have nothing to do with the things of the world. But it's not just, you know, living clean and pure, not having anything to do with the world and being, you know, being a good moral person. You got to stay with the word. So it's not just about women having long hair and wearing long dresses and all these different things. That's not it. It's staying with the word. He said, God wants his wife pure. He says this in the message, Shalom 64. He wants her a virgin, chaste. You know, now, what does that mean to be chaste? Well, you know, in direct meaning of the word chaste means, you know, to have not entered into any type of relationship with somebody else. You know, especially, you know, in the term of it as it applies in the natural is, you know, not to be engaged in any type of you know, a sexual relationship with someone else. And so, you know, then the word, you know, instructs us, you know, that, you know, look how many times that God chastised Israel because she committed adultery against him, spiritual adultery, because she went after other gods. And I'll tell you, friends, look, people who go after these other doctrines and all this, they're committing spiritual adultery on Jesus, on their husband that they have been espoused to. Now, of course, chaste, you think about, you know, how could a person be a virgin but not be chaste? Well, what would make a chaste virgin? Well, you know, of course, a virgin in the natural is a woman that has never been with a man. But, you know, if this girl is, you know, running around with this guy and running around with that guy and hugging on this guy and kissing on that guy and everything, she might be a virgin in the natural, but she's not chaste anymore. Giving her affections to this guy, and then giving her affections to that guy. So you take that and turn that and look at it spiritually. Now, listen to what Brother Branham says here. This is in 1963, in November of 63, in the message entitled, He That Is In You. He says, we know that we're at the end time. We're here. I don't know how far away. He'll never let us know that, because he's coming will be as a thief in the night. My friends, my brother, sister, let's just be ready regardless. Let's just chase ourselves, because the world will go right on. They'll never even know it happened. When the doors of mercy is closed, preachers will be preaching salvation, be causing people to repent, going right on just like it always did. It did in all the other ages. It will in this age. And the rapture will be so sudden and so quick, the world will never even miss them that they're gone. Right. They'll know nothing about it. He comes and slips her away. It'll be gone and they'll know nothing about it. So be in prayer. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. We don't know when the hour will be, but we believe it'll be soon. Stay away from shiny things. Now, see, he's talking about staying chaste. So as he's explaining here about for the bride of this day to stay chaste, a chaste virgin, he instructs them, stay away from shiny things. So what is shiny things? All of these shiny doctrines and teachings that have creeped up around the message and out from amongst us. these shiny things. You've seen people that it seemed like, you know, every new thing that raised up, buddy, they were after it. Every new revelation, every new mystery, they chased it. I've seen people that seem like there'd be a man that would, you know, be somewhere in this message, you know, and some man would come in or whatever, and he would project like as if he had a discernment and could, you know, tell people what was wrong, call them out, and things like that. And I've seen people that claim to believe this message just flock after men like that. Shiny things. Stay away from shiny things. I remember, about 1999, I was at a camp meeting. Brother Biscoe was speaking at, and he had a little luncheon that he spoke at for the ministers, and I went to it. And one of the things, Brother Biscoe was instructing the ministers. He brought out an example. He said, you know, look at Aaron. While Moses was up on the mountain and Aaron was down there, he says, Aaron, the priest, was pressed on by the people. He said, and under the pressure of the people to bring them something new. He says, and out of that came about the making of the golden calf to take them back to Egypt. He said, don't fall under the pressure of the people to, you always got to bring something new. He said, look, and you know, he was Canadian, but he was giving examples like that us American citizens, U.S. citizens understand. He says, look, not every dinner is Thanksgiving dinner. Sometimes, he said, you eat big like on a Thanksgiving dinner, and sometimes your dinner is a bowl of soup. He said, and that's the way it is with the messages that are delivered to the people sometimes too. It's all food. Sometimes it seems like a big old great meal. Sometimes it just seems small. But it's all the Word of God. So, you know, you just don't fall under that pressure. He said, stay away from shiny things. Stay with the gospel, see? Stay right there now. So stay with the gospel. What is it? Stay with the gospel that has been delivered to you. That was what Paul had said. Galatians 1, Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Brother Branham, referring to this mess of adoption, he says, in other words, Paul was saying, I'm ashamed of you that you let somebody come in and twist you away from the gospel that was delivered to another gospel, which is not another, but some have troubled you, which would pervert the gospel of Christ, pervert the real gospel of Christ. So, you know, and as Paul said, what we read there in Corinthians 11, where he says, as the serpent beguiled Eve. So what did he do? He took the word of God, but he perverted it. I'm saying, He didn't really mean this. This is what it really means. Sure. When Brother Branham preached, you know, in the Revelation of Jesus Christ series, Brother Branham actually preached sermons on the church ages, went through them, you know. So we've got that as well as the actual book that he had compiled on the seven church ages. But when he preached on it in 1960, he said the true church at Ephesus was not deceived by this polished intellectual speeches. They hated it. They wasn't deceived. They knowed the true church wasn't deceive. The false revelation these fellows had, called Nicolaitans, which did not cooperate with the word of God. He says, tell me where you ever see a priest in confection taught in the Bible here. Where'd you ever see sprinkling taught in the Bible for the remission of sin? Where'd you ever see anybody baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost for the remission of your sins? Now, Brother Ram's going through this, preaching on this, and he's showing what they had, what began to happen there in that first age when that Antichrist spirit first started its ride and began to spread its doctrine, and you know, which became the Roman Catholic Church. And so he's looking at that, and then you look at so many things that Brother Branham would point at and talked about and preached about when he was here, you know, dealing with these false teachings that and creeds that were out amongst the people from all these different denominations and their teachings and things. But friends, we have moved beyond all that. You know, we're not, you know, having to contend with do we believe in predestination really or not? Or do we believe in election? How do we believe water baptism? I'm not afraid somebody's going to come in here in this church and preach to you, and the next thing you know, all of a sudden, you don't believe in baptizing right anymore. I believe we've moved deeper into the word than that. That's not the way Satan's going to come. But remember, Jesus said it'd be so close that it would deceive the very elect if possible. So what would that mean? You know, of course, we know the elect, Brother Ram says, cannot be deceived. But how could it be so close that if it was possible, it would deceive them? The same way as Paul was pointing, as the serpent beguiled Eve. They're not going to come in. There's not going to be men raising up and telling you, the creeds of the of the Pentecostal church or the Church of God or some other denomination or Church of Christ or whatever, trying to present those things. No, you know, take things that Brother Branham said, quotes, and try to lead you to believe a certain thing based on these quotes that they're quoting. Well, he meant this, he meant that. Do you see this? I remember, you know, back when back in the 70s, when the early 70s or mid 70s there, I guess, when the Seven Thunders really began to take a hold, mid and late 70s, and they would preach and they would lead you toward a great mystery, and sometimes they would lead the people and present in such a way that people were in such an awe of it, and actually they hadn't really said anything. I remember talking to people, and they said, boy, that was deep. Boy, it was really good. I said, do you understand? Oh, it was not really. It was just really deep, but it was good. How in the world? It didn't even make sense. Well, Brother Branham says here, he says, talking about these ones, he says, it's a priesthood or a clergy that's not right with the word. It's a false revelation, not with the word. And they called them liars, false apostles, false prophets. But the true church held to the original teachings of Paul. Now, look what Paul says here in Acts 20. 28 through 30, he says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. So who is he talking to? Paul is addressing this to the pastors of these churches, who's made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Now, he calls them grievous wolves. Jesus in Matthew 7 called them ravening wolves. And he said, what Jesus said, they're going to come in sheep's clothing. In other words, they're going to come seeming so innocent. You know, they come representing themselves to be called of God preachers, believing this message, professing to be preaching this end time message, you know, and they have such a charisma and a presentation of themselves to people that people are like, oh, wow, you know, and they just feel so at ease with them that these people could not possibly mean them any harm. And the next thing you know, some years pass, and they're starting to question that cloud ever appeared, or whatever Brother Branham said about being caught up in it ever happened. And then the next thing you know, they're saying, well, you know what Brother Branham said about the bridge and those men falling to their deaths and all that, that never happened. You can't find that. But they first they came in so innocent looking. Brother Bam said, they're professing to help you, but they're really there to destroy you. And that's why Jesus called them ravening wolves. And look what Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewed down, cast into fire, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, to follow that up, here in the church age book, in the Ephesian church age, Brother Branham was bringing out there how that in Revelations, the second chapter, when the Spirit of God is addressing that Ephesian church, he says, thou hast tried them that say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. He said, what a blunt statement. Thou hast tried them who called themselves apostles, isn't it? Isn't that presumptuous? What right has the people to try them who call themselves apostles? Now, you know, so many times you hear people say, oh, well, you know, we're not supposed to judge. Now, don't be judgmental. You're not supposed to judge, you know. You don't know. No, we don't. But Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them. And that is exactly how they tried these so-called apostles in their midst and found them to be liars. What did they try them by? What did they inspect their fruits by? By the word. Brother Bam said, it's not actually you trying them, it's them being tried by the word. If they're saying what the word says. You know, it's very easy, you know, if for instance, like if you were talking to a Trinitarian, they're trying to prove to you the Trinity by the Bible and all these things, you know, it's very easy to point to all the rest of the scriptures that actually explain all this. If they're trying to convince you to baptize in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you know, friends, look, you say to them, well, yeah, but what about what Peter says in the book of Acts? Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They said, well, I'd rather take what Jesus said than what Peter said. It's in the same Bible. How in the world can you profess to believe the Bible when you're saying, well, you know, I'm not really going to take what Peter said? How could Peter be saying something different than Jesus? If Peter was actually preaching something different than Jesus, then I'm going to tell you what, Jesus wasn't a very discerning person when he said, Peter, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whoa, he made a mistake. Jesus didn't make no mistake. And I'm going to tell you something. Somebody who, you know, people, they believe in getting the Holy Ghost. And they take everything that happened with Peter and those in the upper room up to the point of Peter saying, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They take all that previous to that to try to prove about receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues and all this. But when they get to where Peter starts telling them to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of a sudden they put on the brakes. But now it's easy to see that. Now, but what about those that are actually using quotes from the prophet to try to say, well, we're not to assemble ourselves in a church anymore? Because, you know, Brother Branham said he separated church and bride. He wasn't talking about church buildings, people. He was talking about the elect bride and the church world. How could Brother Branham teach that? You know, how can they take quotes and believe that? You know, when you know, Brother Branham said, I preach what Paul preached. He said, I stayed with what Paul preached. And Brother Branham said, you know, Paul said, if a messenger, an angel, or anybody comes to you with another gospel than what I have delivered to you, let him be accursed. Then how could Brother Branham say something different than forsake not the assembling of yourselves together? How could Brother Branham, friends, you know, how could it be that, you know, Brother Branham preaches everything Paul preached except the fivefold ministry? Paul's the one that actually laid out for us how the fivefold ministry actually was. Heard a man one time, he said this, you know. Well, I'll tell you what it was. I was actually at a little youth gathering. It was in a home of a pastor. And I'd been invited to go there and to be part of that youth gathering and just speak a little bit to the youth there at his home. And this has been many years ago, and I was there, and then we had a portion the pastor wanted them to be able to ask questions. So there was a young lady that was there, you know, and she began to ask questions, but the questions she was asking was because of the things her daddy had said. And she was pointing out about what it says there in Ephesians about the fivefold ministry. She said, well, look, it says he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave some pastors, you know, and they were using, like, he gave it to some, but not to all. Some people just got a pastor. Others got a prophet. And others got an apostle. That is not what that says at all. I said, look, it is saying he gave some prophets, he gave some apostles, he gave some pastors, he gave some teachers, he gave some evangelists, that they all work together for the perfecting of the body. Oh my. You know, so, but they try to, you know, how could Brother Branham preach something different than what Paul preached and then stand there and say, I preach what Paul preached? Amen. Brother Branham says, look, Paul knew that the first revelation was correct. God can't give a revelation and then give a different revelation. He said, if he did, he'd be changing his mind. He can get, now listen to what he says here. because he goes on to explain it. He says he can give a revelation and then keep adding to it, as he did in the Garden of Eden when he promised the seed to the woman. Then later he designated that seed would come through Abraham. Then later he said it would come by the same bloodlines in David. But it was the same revelation. It only gave the people more information to help them receive and understand it. But God's word can't change. The seed came exactly as revealed. So, you know, he first there in the garden, he gives the promise of the seed coming through the woman, as he said. Then he comes down and says, Abraham, it's going to come through you. Then he comes down and says, David, it's going to come through your line, you know. And then, you know, he comes and through Isaiah, he tells exactly how it's going to happen. A virgin's going to conceive and bring forth a son. And of course, you know, that, imagine that being spoken in the days of Isaiah. And the people who would have heard this and read this, what Isaiah said, and say, I don't quite understand it or know how that can happen. But okay. But then as time went on, then he comes and he appears to Mary and says, look, you're going to have a son. The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you, and you are going to conceive. She goes, how can this be, not knowing a man? Said, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you, and that which is conceived in you will be of the Holy Ghost. So the revelation of it, as it came on down, just kept coming more and more clear, until eventually Jesus Christ was born. And that was actually the full manifestation of the revelation that was given when God spoke to Adam and Eve there in the garden. God just kept unfolding it. Adam and Eve, they believed it, but they really didn't know what all it meant or how it was going to be and all of this. They didn't know because God didn't tell them that a virgin was going to conceive. They didn't know there was going to be an Abraham that would come from them, or a Judah, or a David, or a Joseph. You know, they didn't know that it was going to be Mary, the Holy Ghost was going to overshadow her. That's how she was going to conceive as a virgin. God just kept revealing these things, but it was still the same revelation. That's what Brother Branham was pointing at. And he says, and those Ephesians knew the word as Paul had taught them. They were full of the Holy Ghost, and they looked those false prophets in the eye and said, you're not saying what Paul said, therefore you are false. And he said, it's not you that really tries the apostle and the prophet and the teacher, it's the word that tries them. One of these days, hold on just a moment here. This is all Brother Branham bringing, what right do we have to try them that call themselves apostles? And that's when Brother Branham then says what Paul says in Galatians, where I quoted from earlier, where he said, if an angel from heaven or another come preach a gospel to you other than what you've already preached to you, let him be accursed. Look, this is your permission to try it. Is it different from the true gospel that has been delivered? Then Brother Branham goes on here. This is still in the church age book. He says, one of these days there's going to come a prophet to the Laodicean age, and you will know if he's the real one sent from God or not. Yes, you will. For if he's of God, he will be in that word exactly as God gave it to Paul. He won't deviate from that word for a moment, not by one iota. In that last stage, there will be many false prophets appearing. Well, when did they really start appearing? Just like Paul said they would in his time, after I depart. After I depart. Now look, there were little doctrines that started up while Brother Branham was here. I remember a testimony one time hearing that Sister, you've heard in the message Brother Branham speak about Brother and Sister Dow. Well, I never knew Brother Dow. He had passed away before I met any of them, but I knew Sister Gladys Dow. And she gave a testimony one time about how that she said, you know, her and Brother Dow, they went to Brother Branham's meetings and things, and wherever he was going, you know, they would go and find a place to stay and go to the meeting. And said they called a taxi, they got in it, and when they went to go, all of a sudden, there's Brother Branham, and he said, well, he would just ride with them. And so Brother Branham got in the taxi with them. And while they were riding down the road, Brother Branham said, there's something troubling you, Sister Dow. And she said, yes. She said, look, I've been hearing all these people talking about baptizing in your name and saying that, you know, that you are Jesus Christ. And he said, well, Sister Dow, he said, if they weren't doing that, I would doubt my commission. He said, because, you know, the Lord spoke there on the river and said, as John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall you forerun my second coming. He says, and there was many that mistook John for and asked him if he was the one. He said, and John said, oh, no, I'm not he. There's one to come. He said, I'm not even worthy to latch his shoes. I'm just here pointing at the one to come. He said, when I hear those things, it just makes me, you know, he said, realize that my commission was true. Because the same things happening that happened to John. And he said, Sister Dow, don't you listen to those people. He said, I'm not that, and don't baptize in my name. So there were things that were starting to creep up while he was here, but boy, I'll tell you what, after Brother Branham's passing, you know, I guess there was men that raised up right away, and I don't know that they were actually, you know, had some kind of a doctrine name, but they were proclaiming, you know, Brother Branham, he commissioned me. Brother Branham laid hands on me. Brother Branham, you know, he commissioned me to preach, you know, so that, you know, people would come to them. Yeah, over in Arkansas was one of the places. Brother Homer Longoria told me one time when I was fellowship with him, he said, yeah, he said, I used to be over there, brother. He said, kind of under the ministry of those two men over there. He said, you know, he says, we didn't have no way to look up really anything that Brother Branham said back then. You know, we had the books and the tapes and that. He said, but there wasn't any compiling of quotes like, you know, later on there was a brother put together a compiling of quotes to cover certain topics that Brother Branham had covered in that, and it was called the Golden Nugget Book, you know. But now we've got computers and things and all that, you know, that we can look this stuff up. And he said, but there wasn't nothing like that back then. He said, so these men that were saying, you know, Brother Branham anointed me, Brother Branham commissioned me, and, you know, they would tell you, Brother Branham said this and Brother Branham said that. He said, and they told me Brother Branham said it was wrong to drink Coca-Cola. He said, so I went out and preached that. He said he went over into Georgia, preached at a church over in Georgia. He said, then later on, some years later, he said, I found out Brother Branham never did say that. He said, so you know what I said? Well, Homer, you're the one that preached that, so you better go back over there to that church and unpreach it. But see, that's what a lot of the men were doing there right there in the 60s, the late, after Brother Branham had left, you know, been took off the scene. But then we come on into the 70s, and that's, boy, when the doctrine started taking off. You know, and then, 70s, I know the one big one was the Seven Thunders, and then, going into the 80s was Perugia. He's already come. You've seen all the coming of the Lord you're ever going to see. When he comes, he brings the dead in Christ with him, so they're here with us right now. Yeah. Had a brother leave out of here the day I got voted in as pastor. Stomped out of here and said, "Brother, you're preaching Perugia." And I said, "No, brother, I'm not." He said, "Well, you're preaching a cousin to it." And the only reason he said that was because I would not agree with him that, really what it was that I wouldn't agree with him that Brother Branham was coming back. But he posed the question, I believe, that day was on that I believed that the Lord Jesus was sitting on the mercy seat, So I remember I told my dad, about being accused of preaching a cousin to Perugia. And he said, there was ministers that accused him of preaching Perugia. And they told him, "You're preaching light Perugia." Which made me think of, all this diet stuff, light mayonnaise and all this stuff, And I said, "So you're preaching fat-free Perugia." I know it's just, I don't mean to be funny. It was these things, and there was many that, because of certain things you were preaching about the appearing of the Son of Man, ministry and things like that, and that Jesus Christ had come in the fullness of his word and preaching the opening of the word and things like that, people then would label you and try to group you in with this group that was preaching Perugia. Also, another one was the two-lord doctrine and polygamy. Polygamy, you can't believe it, but it was a big thing in some areas. And then, if you don't get the right one, mate down here, you'll get the right one over there. So there was different ones. Our stamp saying, "Well, God showed me I ain't got the right wife. Your wife's supposed to be my wife." Yeah. All kinds of junk. But, we look at that and say, "Well, but we would never be deceived by that." But it comes down, it just keeps coming even closer, friends. And you watch people that they start together in their homes that wasn't even going to church. And all of a sudden they start to get religious, and instead of coming to church where God's actually preaching the word, they say, "Well, we're just going to gather in a home now and play a tape, listen to the prophet." Brother Joseph is our pastor. Well, if he is, then move up there and go to that church. It just all kinds of stuff. But the elect will not be deceived. Brother Ram says this in the Laodicean church age. He was actually, this is, here he was saying this, and why I pointed the first church age he preached on Ephesians in the church age book about them trying them and finding them to be liars. Brother Branham goes into that, but he's now addressing it to this last age. And he says, if you're still in any doubt about this, ask God by his spirit to fill you and lead you, for the very elect can't be fooled. Did you get that? There isn't any man can fool you. Paul could not fool any elect if he had been wrong. And in that first Ephesian age, the elect there could not be fooled, for they tried the false prophets and apostles and found them to be liars and put them out. So look, friends, You don't just, Brother Bam, identify them. And Jesus says, how do you identify them? By their fruits. Does it line up with the word? Try them by the word. If it's not lining up with the word, then what does he say? Yeah, you know, just be long-suffering. He said, no, put them out. Because, look, you know, of course people say, well, you know, Brother Branham said, I'd rather have the right spirit and the wrong doctrine than to have the right doctrine and the wrong spirit. Well, I'm going to tell you this. If you got the right spirit, the Bible says the spirit of truth will lead and guide you into all truth. So if you got the right, that's why Brother Branham said that. If you got the right spirit, it's going to lead you into the right doctrine. But if a person's got the wrong spirit, it'll lead them away from the truth. But to say, I can remain with my false doctrine as long as I got the right spirit, no. Because Jesus said, the day's now that we worship not only in spirit, but in truth. That's why I've told different ones over different times, you know, that were looking to get married and things. And I would say, look, you need to find out about these young people, young men, young women. Where are they going to church? Who's their pastor? What's being taught? What are they sitting under? Look at their parents. You know, and look, I'm not saying, look, I know Brother Branham said, you know, that, you know, Alexi to God could come from the two worst people in the world. And the worst person in the world could come from two Alexi to God, too. But, you know, the thing is, look, you know, just sometimes young people, they just want to follow their emotions and rush into things. And it's going to end up causing them problems on down the line. You know, and I know that we've had some that have when they got married, even here, you know, they weren't really exactly maybe along with God where they should be. But look what's happened. They got there. God kept dealing with them. But you say, well, okay, what's the thing? Well, they were going to church here, they said under this ministry, and look at their parents. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm saying like Paul Casey, so I'm talking foolish. I'm boasting. I don't mean it that way. But, you know, I wonder about the, you know, I wonder how things are. I guess they're all right. There's a young man I mentioned to you not long ago that, you know, he's now a pastor and that. But he married a young lady who, you know, turned out her parents were some of them that actually ended up leaving this message and blasting it, different things they wrote about it online. You know, well, I guess she's okay, you know, in that. But, you know, that had to be hard. But you got to pray and seek God for these things, you know, and take care. And that is one of the things Brother Ramsey said, stay with the word and keep praying. Amen. Let's stand. You know, it's just something I find that looking back over even the last year or so here in the church, of all the different things that we've covered, that one thing just falls right into another with all these things. And I was just telling my wife when we were driving here to church, I said, you know, when I felt led to start bringing these teachings out of the book of Corinthians on Thursday nights, you know, and that, I felt led to do it But I didn't go through and say, well, let me read all of it all ahead so I can make sure it's what I should do and see what I'll... Look, friends, I just went and studied it as we went into each chapter, because that's how, what I felt led to do. And just look, not only that, you say, well, you were always studying out of the books of Corinthians, but look at how all these things that just kept coming out, and then all the things that God even led us to different subjects that we preached on Sundays. And I'll tell you this, I was thinking about this here recently, and that there was, last January I preached a message, I think it was about the last Sunday of January, on discernment of spirits. And there was many of you that were not here that Sunday. And because they were having that memorial service down there in Manchester for Brother Todd's father. So there was many of you that went down there to that service, and you were there when I preached that. And I said, go back, it's online. Go back and find it and listen to it, if you weren't here especially. You know, because it started there, and then God just kept pouring it out all the way down, and he ain't even stopped. Look at all the things we've been preaching about, for God so loved the world. You know, and I'm sorry I kept you long on Sunday with it and that, but found out I ain't done yet. So I got at least one more in the arsenal on that one. So, amen. Just keep us in your prayers, amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and I ask God that you bless your word, Father, to us, dear God. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for how that you watch over us as a people, Lord, your sheep, your flock, your elect bride, dear God. And Lord, how that, God, you bring out all these things from the scriptures, Lord, that you point out to us, just like Paul was constantly pointing out to the people of that day, warning them of things and how the enemy and the spirit of the Antichrist would work, and John pointing out those things, Lord. And then, God, you sent us a prophet in this last day, dear God, and Father, how he was pointing those things out to the bride as well, dear God, and warning of them, dear God. And Lord, you know, I remember one time, God, I was preaching in a place, and I mentioned some different false doctrines and showed how they were wrong, Lord. And the pastor came to me afterwards and said he didn't think I should have to have preached or mentioned those things. He said, you know, how they know a real dollar isn't that they study the bogus, but they study the real one so that they can see the bogus and identify it because they know the real one so well. But Lord, how many times did your prophet and even Paul, Lord, would actually speak out and say about these false things that were being taught? Lord, would identify it and actually say, that's wrong. God, and Father, I still see you doing that by your Spirit today. Father, protecting your people, warning them, Father, constantly. And Lord, as a pastor, I know, and who've been taught by the prophet, that you set the pastor there, Father, Lord, to watch over the flock, dear God, and Father, you as to see the approach of the enemy, dear God, and to give warning, Lord, and Father, I always want to pay attention to everything that you point out to me, Lord. I ask God tonight that you bless your people, Lord, as they go, and many of them have work and different things, maybe travels or whatever tomorrow, be with them and keep them safe, dear God. Bring us back here at the point in time on Sunday. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.